Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, how to handle meeting killers, the jokester. Here we go. This is a special kind of series here. We're going to talk about meeting killers. Yep. Instead of one long 5-hour podcast,
yeah,
we're going to break this up into several sections and talk about meeting killers and specifically what to do about them. But before we get into the first one, we're going to talk about the jokester today. Why don't you give us some background as to why you thought this important? What was the genesis of this cast?
Yeah, you made the joke already about 5 hours, and I know the joke is directed at me. I could be long-winded, so I'll try to be brief. There was I did it to myself. There was a recent Wall Street Journal article. Now, if you're listening to this, the article was 15 May 2012 called Meet the Meeting Killers. And it was basically a management-based article about people doing stupid things in meetings. And there were various interviews with people about how to address that meeting killer behavior. And the article ended up being good, and I generally disagree with most guidance you can read in popular press, because some journalist who, I shouldn't say this, but is not a manager, just interviews somebody who says they're an expert, and the guidance they give is dumb, in my opinion. But this one actually ended with some really, really good guidance, all of which we've already said before in our effective meetings cast. But what they did was they made it about people in the meeting, things people do, thematic things. And so there's the jokester, which, by the way, folks, I'm so sorry with that name. All we're doing there is copying the name that came out of the journal. They had the dominator, the naysayer, the silent plotter, the rambler, which I'm sure you all have experienced as well. And this week, we're going to do the first one. We're going to go in order the way they introduce them in the article. Now, look, guys, the article is available online to anybody, not just a subscriber. And so you may want to go get it and print it out, simply because I think it's only going to be available for a couple of weeks. But we will go through what the article says in detail, so you won't have to read the article if you don't want to. That said, let's keep in mind, this is Manager Tools. We put out a cast every week that's actionable and that is timeless. That is to say, we don't address every trend, every interesting thing that you read about in the business press. We want every one of our casts to be worthy of someone 20, 25 years from now. That's a pretty high standard. But when I read this one, even though it was, you know, it was in the journal, and so it was in the periodical press, these kinds of behaviors, we see them. And it was somewhat behavioral. And, you know, it's one thing for us to tell people, hey, here's how to run an effective meeting. But, you know, everybody's got a plan until they get hit. And here's a case where these kind of things, I could see all these things happening in a meeting, and we never addressed them. So the purpose of this cast is to address all those unusual, aberrant, frustrating, stupid behaviors that people engage in meetings. What's more, we're going to address it from two perspectives. One is, if it's one of your directs in a meeting you're running, which is different than if you're running a project meeting and one of your peers is engaging in these kinds of behaviors, or perhaps a more senior person, right? So we're going to give you two or three different perspectives on these behaviors. And basically, we're going to tell you about the behaviors that the journal says are prevalent, which we don't disagree with. And then we're going to tell you, this is what to do to counteract some of the potentially bad guidance in the journal.
And there's like 7 points we're going to make over the next 7 months. So let's tell you about them, right? We're going to talk about the jokester. We're going to talk about the dominator.
Right.
The naysayer.
Naysayer.
The silent plotter. The evil silent plotter.
Yeah.
The rambler. We're going to talk about multitasking, right, as a meeting killer. And we're going to talk about the reason the article was saved. What did they do?
Yeah, we'll probably put the multitasking and the article saved together in one cast, simply because the last one, the reason the article was saved, is not really actionable, but we want to tip our hat to the journal.
Good. So today we're going to talk about the jokester. And then this, of course, is the funniest of the meeting killers. I guess it's funny until it's not funny anymore.
Yeah.
I know the first thing somebody is going to think is like, all of a sudden we're going to say that people aren't allowed to make jokes at meetings. And we are not saying that.
By the way, another reason it's funny is because, weirdly, the jokester is pictured in a series of illustrations in the article, but he's not mentioned specifically in the text of the article. There's just a picture and a caption which saying he cracks jokes, which may or may not be appropriate, and he sort of he can ruin the flow of a meeting. And the way they do it in the article is they give various people's behaviors nuisance levels, and smartly, I think, they grade the jokester as a misdemeanor, and of three possible red boxes you can have in terms of their danger to your meeting, he only gets one of the three red boxes. And in fact, in the article, they don't make any recommendations for addressing him. And the answer, though, is it's not hard, but let's be clear about it. And if you're a new manager, it may worry you a little bit. You may be thinking that person has 15 years in the company. He's making jokes. Mark and Mike didn't say anything about whether jokes were okay or not okay. Should I address it? Should I not? Well, here's your answer. And as you said, look, guys, jokes are not antithetical on their face to management or to meetings. Jokes happen. Some are good. Some are bad. Most, frankly, are bad. But usually they're fine in terms of it won't kill you. You know, life is not supposed to be a machine where everything happens exactly right. It's human beings just don't respond that way. So don't assume that the next time somebody makes a joke, it's a problem on its face. It's not. The way to address somebody who makes jokes is you ask yourself, A, is this a recurring behavior? And B, does this one specifically disrupt the meeting? So, simple. Our first guidance is wait until you feel there's a pattern. Our recommendation is that if after five meetings, five in a row, in every meeting there's a joke, then there's a pattern. Now, this goes to Mike's comment, right? Which is, you know, let's not say there's no room for jokes. That's dumb. Guys, jokes can help. Moments can be tense and then somebody can make a joke, so hopefully self-deprecating, and that can break up a room and relax, get everybody back on track and creative and so on. Now, some of you may say, hey, I don't think I can wait that long. And the reason why we wait five is we don't want to stamp too hard on jokes, right? Human beings have a sense of humor. So if you try to get rid of all jokes, that will be worse than having some that disrupt your meetings every once in a while, okay? If you try to get rid of all humor, that's a fate much worse than too much humor. So once you determine there's a pattern, now you might decide four is your boiling point. And I would say breathe in, breathe out, move on. But we recommend five. Please don't do it after two. Don't do that. It could be two random events that it was too good a situation and a guy made two jokes and suddenly you're saying no more jokes and he's going to sit there and cross his arms and pout for a month and not contribute a single thing to your meetings. And he's going to say, you're a jerk. So once there's a pattern, it's time to act. And now we ask ourselves the question, did it disrupt the meeting? Now look, there are all kinds of factors that can cause a joke to disrupt or not disrupt. It could be off color. Okay. Not cool. It could be hurtful. It could be poisonous to somebody inside the room. It could be even disrespectful of somebody outside the room. You know, it could be impolitic, right? In other words, not respectful of a cultural issue in the company or a company history or somebody else in the organization. It could be disparaging of corporate guidance, or it could be disparaging of leaders or plans or whatever. I'm always amazed at the number of managers that think, even though they agree with us that we never recommend that you throw your boss under the bus and say, the boss wants to do X, but I think it's dumb, but we got to do it, guys, so let's do it. We don't recommend that. But some people think it's okay to throw their boss under the bus, so to speak, if it's a joke. Like, you know, the boss, he's such a smart guy in a weird way, and now he says we should do this, and you think that's a joke. But essentially, we have to remember, in all humor, there is truth. And by the way, that's not my saying. I think that came from somebody in like 2000 BC, because it's true. Jokes that don't have a kernel of truth, that don't relate to you in a way, generally aren't funny. They might be vulgar, but they're not funny. So any jokes along those ones I just mentioned could cause disruption. And look, guys, trust yourself. Ask yourself, do I feel that joke disrupted the meeting? Some of you, I would venture a guess, the high C's who want to dot the I's and cross the T's and run your meeting second by second and so on, will probably have too low a standard for what is disruptive. Some of you high I's, you probably have too loose a standard. What I would recommend if you're listening to this cast and you're not a manager, pay attention to what jokes people can get away with and what can't. And start asking yourself now, which ones would I tolerate and which ones wouldn't I? Okay. In any event, you make the call and keep in mind this. In Mike and I's heads, we're not saying disruption is a dead stop to the meeting. That's too high a standard for disruption. Drama, just having some drama, is probably also too high. Generally, it could be a pause, which you think is not helpful. In other words, the joke is funny, but people don't know whether to laugh, and they pause because they realize, ooh, somebody stepped on some toes there.
And it affects the interactions amongst the group post the joke, right? If it takes another 5 minutes for the group to get back on track, that's a disruption.
Yeah, exactly. Look, all this said, folks, you're going to have to make the call. We don't have any hard and fast rule. But look, if a joke is harmless and it's your call and it doesn't disrupt the meeting, it's just a joke. And 95, 98% of the time, we recommend letting that go completely. But the one time to not let it go is when it is made by someone who is more in the spotlight than normal and the joke offends the image of their character. And what we mean by that is someone in the spotlight, we mean a top or a bottom performer at that time, or somebody who is doing something very important. And when we say the joke offends the image of their character, in other words, we're suggesting, folks, that you be careful about people around you relative to how a joke might cause other people to perceive them. If you have a top performer and she gets a little full of herself and she makes a joke that you think is, you know, it may be funny, it may break up the room, but if you feel like she's going down a path a little too snarky, a little too dark, maybe edgy in terms of politeness or in terms of good manners and verbiage or something like that, we recommend you do something about that.
Right. Let's address something. I think there's a danger here. And folks, I just want to caution you. We're telling you to consider the intent of the joke, whether the intent is to put somebody down or not. So a veiled put down, if you will, in the form of humor. And we're not telling you to do that. We never suggest that you consider folks' intent. You may be able to accurately guess what their intent is, but that's not the standard. The standard is whether or not it causes, if somebody could interpret it, to offend their character. And it has nothing to do with intent.
Yeah. So you've got somebody in the spotlight, okay? Top performer, bottom performer, special situation where somebody is doing something particular and they're in the spotlight, even though they're a middle-level performer, but you're trying to grow their skills, or they've asked to be considered for promotion in the next couple of years and you're going to develop them. And so you're going to apply a higher standard to their behavior than perhaps you would in other situations. And the pattern exists, right? Not just one time. The first time you can let it go, breathe in, breathe out, move on. But if a pattern occurs, okay, I got to do something about this. And what you do is after that pattern exists, you take them aside. You can't do it during the meeting, right? We don't give feedback in public or in front of other people anyway. Feedback's always for the private use of one individual. We take them aside and we give them some feedback. And you say, hey, can I give you some feedback? When you say whatever was said, even if you mean it as a joke. Now notice, folks, I didn't say when you make a joke like that, because they might say, well, it wasn't a joke, or I didn't intend it to be funny or whatever. But making a joke is not behavior. The behavior is the words they say. And choose the words that were objectionable to you. Okay? So when you say XYZ, the words they actually said, and you say, when you say that, even if you mean it as a joke, it doesn't help your standing here. I don't think it looks good. Can you change that? You know, a top performer who says a joke like that often hurts themselves by acting the joke, which is in some way in your mind disruptive, whatever that might be, because it hurts somebody's feelings or because it's impolitic or because it's vulgar or it's not polite or whatever. They're going to be seen by other people as thinking they can get away with more because they're a top performer, which is a classic definition of power corrupting and arrogance, which you don't want to let your people get in that situation. A bottom performer who makes a joke, right? And by the way, you'll notice, partially because we wouldn't want to be the arbiters of this, but we're not talking about whether the joke is funny or not. And I know that probably for some of you are like, geez, you're going to suck the life out of things. But hopefully you'll realize we're going to let them do it several times before we're going to suck the life out of things. Okay? Because we know, again, jokes happen. But a bottom performer, somebody who's struggling, who makes a joke, who's off color or whatever, is going to be seen as disrespectful. And somebody who's not supporting the organization fully right? Because they're a bottom performer. They're not doing as much as everybody else. And that's what people think about bottom performers. The idea that a bottom performer can get away with something that somebody in the middle doesn't think they can get away with, that hurts them as well. That makes them think, gee whiz, why would that guy think he can get away with that? It's just unprofessional, whether you're a top or a bottom performer, or if you have somebody who's in the spotlight running a meeting or just giving a big presentation. And this is where rehearsals help. I know a number of people who start presentations with jokes, and that's a whole different cast. That's not a meeting behavior. But if that were the case, I'd say, don't ever do that. Don't start with a joke, because it's often not funny, and that will bum you out for the next half hour, which is when you need to be owning your audience. Let me go a little further here. If there's a comment made in a meeting that is simply inappropriate, we're not addressing that here. And the reason why is because those aren't jokes. And to be clear, trying to be funny is not a defense against inappropriate or unprofessional behaviors, ever. Okay? And people do that. They are inappropriate on purpose. They put a little lilt in their voice. It's not actually a joke. But we're not addressing that here, because that's just a chance for feedback, which is a totally separate situation. If they're inappropriate or unprofessional, and then they say to you when you're giving them feedback, well, I was just trying to be funny. It's, well, whether you were or not, I'm not going to address your intent. I'm just saying what you said was inappropriate, period, right? So that's what you do with your directs. You take them aside, you give them some feedback about the specific behavior they engaged in. Okay, but let's make it harder. What if this happens in a meeting you're leading that's cross-functional, or it's a project meeting, for instance? In other words, the people in the meeting aren't your directs. And we really have a similar recommendation. Now, look, if somebody outranks you notably, but maybe they're your peer on the project, guys, shut the hell up about it, unless you have an exceptional relationship with that more senior person. Now, please, guys, don't send me email saying, well, Mark, I really wish Manager Tools would tell people to speak truth to power. And by gosh, if a senior person does something inappropriate, we all ought to stand up and tell them they're wrong. Yeah, you know what? Mike and I live in the real world, okay? Tell your boss the truth and the truth will set you free. If I knew the person who had done it, I might say, oh, sure, I know that guy. And if he did something that was inappropriate, he wouldn't take it out on you if you embarrassed him by saying, hey, VP, let's keep it clean here, whatever. But we're not going to do that, right? So let that go. And by the way, if you have a great relationship with them, you could just ask them to tone it down a notch. You could say to them something like, and again, this is somebody more senior who you know really well, maybe even are friendly with or have been friends with before they outranked you. You could say to them, hey, can I ask you a favor? When you make the jokes you do, it sometimes eggs other people on to do the same thing. It makes my job a little harder. It'd help me if you could dial it back a bit. Your call. But if you don't have a good relationship with that senior person, put that moment in your Delta file, meaning a place that you write down things that you won't ever do when you have more power than you do now, and let that thing go.
And what if you're a peer?
Yeah, that's the other one, right? That's much more likely. And by peer, when we think of project meetings, I think of somebody who may actually be maybe one level down from you in the organization, but they're not your direct, whether you have a good relationship with them or not. The lines of power, not that we think the corporate world is built around power, but the lines of power are diffuse or hard to be clear, or somebody could push back and say, you're not my boss, and we don't recommend project managers run things with an iron fist. We recommend you run them with relationships. And so because they're not your directs, it's better to use the peer feedback model. And so you could go up to them after the meeting and you say this, hey, I don't know if you know it, but when you say, and then you put in whatever it was that they said, even when it's a joke, dude, it makes my job of running the meeting a little bit harder. I think it sets a bad example. I thought you'd want to know that. And for those of you who don't know it, that's the peer feedback model. You don't ask in step one. You don't ask in step four. You basically just share new information with them. It's as if you're saying, hey, you probably can't see this from my perspective, but cause and effect, stimulus and response. When you do X, here's what happens. Simple.
Right. And you don't ask them to change. They don't work for you. You just, here it is for your consideration.
I just want to let you know. Yeah. And it's very casual. It's very drive-by-ish, right? You walk up to them, you kind of lean in and you say, hey, I don't know if you know this, but when you make jokes like that, when you say X, even if it's a joke, it makes my job harder. I'm not going to argue with you. You tell me it was funny, but probably not the best thing to do. Just wanted you to know.
Drive-by-ish? Really? Drive-by-ish?
Yeah, it's bad. I know, bad, you know.
Yeah, you're not shooting them, folks. It's actually the exact opposite of that. The drive-by part of it is just the quickness of it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think you may not have seen this. By the way, here's some information for you.
Yeah, the reason I say drive-by, though, dude, and I got to come up with a better analogy, is because a lot of managers think that when they're given feedback, peer or direct feedback, they worry that they have to have a conversation. And that is just fundamentally wrong. It's right. wrong to do that. And they see it as two magnets suddenly being attracted and being in a hug for a minute so that the director can have a conversation with the boss. We dispute that. We know from years of experience that you don't need to do that. And we see it more like two billiard balls clicking into one another gently on a pool table, right? You come up to the person, you say what you need to say, and you move away.
Yeah, there right? you go.
You don't stop a person in the hall and square your shoulders with them and say, can we have a conversation? You're not doing that. As they're walking out, you walk next to them and you lean over and say, can I share, you know, can, let me just tell you something about the meeting. When you do that, that's kind of hard, right?
And then you move on. There you go.
Yeah, and you move on.
Let me ask you, though, we've talked about addressing the jokester, you know, post them doing something inappropriate, but is there anything we can do to prevent it from happening in terms of the structure of the meeting or whatever to prevent it from happening in the first place, or to, at least to mitigate a little bit?
Yeah, you play straight man really well, Mike. Sure, it's ground rules, right? Because they work. Ground rules work marvelously. Okay, now, we would not put a ground rule up saying no jokes. Okay? It's too hard. Yeah. It's too subtle.
And no jokes, and then also have a ground rule that says, let's have fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, people make jokes at our conferences, and we have a very driven agenda at our conferences. We start on time, we finish on time, by gosh. And, yeah, so there are plenty of other ground rules that will reduce the chances of it anyway in terms of being respectful is one. I think that's a good standing ground rule. And, you know, usually one at a time and stay on task, or, you know, start on time, stay on time, finish on time. And again, the issue is whether or not it disrupts and whether or not there's a pattern. So if you have a ground rule and you have to apply it every time, that would be bad. If you run efficient and effective meetings, you're going to have some jokes, but you're probably not going to have any jokesters, because they're going to know if they take on that persona of I have to make a joke every time, the pattern will exist and there are typical ground rules that will address it.
Good.
And that's it.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, my friend.
You bet, partner.
We'll see you next time. Bye. Thanks, everyone. That's it for part one. We'll see you roughly in about a month with part two, where we're going to talk about the Dominator. See you then. So long.